All right, let's get going here. Hour number three, and there is a lot of news on the coronavirus front. We have a new contender that is sneaking around in the background, trying to find out more about that for you as much as we can, as quickly as we can. It has to do with swine flu. And let me find the story here. Fauci says the new virus in China. Now, if you remember any of you, a long time ago, I said that I had been briefed. I'll leave it at that, that there were pandemic and epidemic viral and biological agents that we would have to deal with, whether they were natural or man-made, I don't remember, but that there was going to be a series of them. We'll see. There's a lot more, I was told, as well. Fauci says new virus in China has traits of the 2009 H1N1 and 1918 pandemic flu. How does Dr. Faustus know all this? Interesting. H1N1 swine flu virus with the 2009 pandemic, that viral, it seems to be facilitating human infection somehow. I don't quite understand that. That comes from Henry's site. We'll talk to him about that in a minute as well. Chinese study sounds alarm over new swine flu with pandemic potential. The World Health Organization warns we cannot let our guard down. Now, this again goes hand in hand with what I was told about over a year ago. There's more. Let's just get right to Henry and find out, have him sort this out for us. Welcome back, Henry. Thanks for being here. It's been an incredibly difficult and busy and stressful day on this end. I hope yours hasn't been that bad.
I heard your introduction, and I did hear Anthony Fauci. I was more concerned about the COVID than the swine flu. But
sure.
Let
me say one other thing that you didn't hear. Hold on. Fauci said the virus, as you know, it's G4EAH1N1, has not yet been shown to infect humans, but it is exhibiting reassortment capabilities, Fauci told the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee during Tuesday hearings. So he's, I don't know what he's doing. Tell us what he's doing.
Well, he's just reading the literature. The paper
That's what I thought. Yeah.
The paper came out today in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And it was describing these various reassortants that they found in China. And it's really kind of result or outgrowth of, you know, the swine flu back in 2009. If you recall, the virus was a pandemic. It went worldwide. It went to every continent but Antarctica. And and once it goes out, you know, I made this point before that the pandemics don't go away. The epidemics go away. Pandemics are around for decades.
Oh, they and become so endemic.
Right, right. Well, as soon as they become pandemic, they're endemic because they're everywhere. So,
right.
So the virus was everywhere in the spring of 2009 and then was significantly worse in the fall of 2009, which is pretty typical for a flu pandemic. And as a result, the virus is not only in humans, but the virus is in pigs because it was originally a swine virus that was able to jump species and affect humans. And it essentially replaced seasonal H1N1. So the H1N1 that's circulating now, that if you get a flu shot, it's in the vaccine. And if you get H1N1 flu, that's the flu you have. That's the swine flu that basically jumped from swine to humans in 2009.
Uh-huh.
And then it basically went into swine also. The swine flu that was here was probably out of Mexico, so it, you know, wasn't pigs in Mexico, and then it went to humans, and then humans carried it all over the world. So then it went to pigs in other countries, including China.
Right.
And so the virus that he was talking about is essentially the swine flu that has now swapped out some of the genes with some swine flu genes that are in swine in China. So they're reassorting. And
so they're working in the background, constantly reconfiguring themselves, it sounds like. Not radically,
right,
necessarily,
right.
But yeah.
So flu can both recombine and reassort. It's a segmented genome, so there's 8 pieces. It's kind of like 8 chromosomes. And it can, if 2 viruses get into the same cell, they can kind of mix and match, and the virus that comes out as some of the segments from one parent and some of the segments from the other, and they're reassorting. And that's what they were fighting in China, that some of the genes, or even most of the genes, were from the 2009 swine flu, and 2, 3, or 4 of the genes were from swine in Asia. And there were all different types of combinations. And so this paper that came out listed all the sequences. All the sequences are public. They're all at GeneBank. And there were a lot of them. I don't know. There were probably, I would say, at least 50 different sets, and they had a bunch of different combinations. And the concern isn't so much because they found 50 sets with a bunch of different combinations. They were really more because when they looked at farmers, they could find antibodies to the virus. And I think it was in something like 4% of the, it was higher in farmers than it was in the general population. So that was an indication that there was some movement from the swine to humans, but it wasn't efficient enough to be, you know, an epidemic. So a lot of people were infected and it was spreading. It was kind of, you know, probably a flu-like illness, and they, you know, didn't know they had that. They wouldn't know they had these reassortants unless they actually sequenced them. If they tested them, if they've got the H and the N from swine flu, they would just test as swine flu, because that's all that's tested under a routine assay. I mean, if they want to see if it's influenza A, then they'll be influenza A positive. If they want to be, serotype them, they'll be H1N1, just like swine flu. And they'll actually have the H1 and the N1 from the swine. And I didn't go through all the combinations. They might have swapped out some of the H's and some of the N's. So it's got, you know, an H from the swine and from the swine flu that jumped to humans, and then an N from swine in China. So they got these different combinations, and there seems to be some movement from the swine to humans. Is not at a high enough frequency to basically move away from the farm. It's mostly farmers that have this. It's not like they go into the city and they find that the virus has already been there. But, you know, the concern was that if it's in 4% of the farmers, then that's a fair number of people that have been affected by this virus. And if the virus is jumping from swine to humans, it could adapt to humans and then kind of be like another swine flu, but probably the vaccine wouldn't work. You know, it could change the H in the end, so it was a little bit different. The vaccine wouldn't work, and the immunity that people have from being infected by swine flu wouldn't work, and it would be kind of like a new swine flu pandemic, because the H in the end would probably be a little bit different. And it'd be more like the H and the N that's circulating pagan swine.
Okay.
In
all right.
China.
So, right.
So that's what that's all about. So it isn't like it's transmitting efficiently. It's not clear that it would be more lethal than the swine flu that's already circulating. And it's not clear how well the existing vaccines would work against it. So it's something to
Very
keep
good.
An eye
okay.
on, but
all
it's
right.
not something that is causing
we
a lot
will
of
do
problems.
Just that
yes.
then. Thank you. Okay.
And
let's go.
But what Fauci was in front of the one of the Senate committees, I'm not sure exactly what it was on, but he was testifying there along with several others regarding what the situation was in the U.S. And, you know, of course, the situation in the U.S. is not good. And Fauci essentially said it wasn't good. And just to give you an idea, today I'm still waiting for an update from California, but using the numbers as of 4 o'clock local time, California has 7,000 cases today. They had 8,000 cases yesterday. Some of the media reports said that today was a record, but yeah, they might have started counting at a different time, so they used part of those 8,000. But in any event, mm-hmm. assuming there aren't any more cases today in California, but there probably will be, but the current total is 45,000 new cases today. And that's pretty much the same as the all-time high, which happened, I think it was last Thursday or Friday. So it has got up to 45,000. If California throws in a couple thousand more when they update, then it'll be up to 47,000. And it actually would have got up to 50,000 today, but Florida is kind of reporting a lower number today as they did yesterday. Today it's a little bit higher. Today they got up to 6,093. They only did 5,000 yesterday, and before that they had done 8,590, you know, close to 10,000. And I know that yesterday the reason it was down is because they didn't do as much testing. The percent positive was actually higher, but the total number was lower because that was kind of Sunday numbers. And today the numbers are a little bit higher than yesterday, but not much. It's only 6,000 instead of close to 10,000. And I would virtually guarantee that it is 6,000 because even though we're now on a weekday, so today's would typically be yesterday's test results, that not only are they cutting back on testing on Sunday, but they appear to be cutting back on testing on Monday and kind of following Trump's direction. They
Trump's
said,
directive.
We got a lot more cases. We better stop testing a little down. So they are
That's
down.
Right.
I mean, 6,000 a day, 5,000 yesterday versus 8,500 on Friday. So the numbers in Florida are down, but the percent isn't down. And I mean, the day before it was 95, 85. So it was almost 10,000 on Friday, 8,500 on Saturday, and only 5,000 yesterday and 6,000 today. So 5,000 yesterday and 6,000 today is kind of a man-made total. It has nothing to do with how many real cases they have in Florida. It has to do with how many people they're going to test. And they were at something like 16 or 18% positive. And once you get into double digits, you're way under testing. Your percent positive should be low single digit. If you get it down to 1 or 2%, that means that you're doing a pretty good job of identifying a good chunk of the cases that are out there. If you're at 16 or 18%, you should probably be doing 4 or 5 times as much testing as you are doing. And, you know, they're not equipped to do that. They have no intention of doing that. And they think that, Trump said, if you don't test and the numbers are lower, then you've got less virus.
Now, that's
fewer
science.
Fewer cases. And
that's science, Henry. That's hard science.
Right, right.
You do fewer tests, you're going to get fewer cases. How are you going to argue that?
Exactly.
Come on.
You can see the numbers. It's 6,000 a day, 5,000 yesterday versus 10,000 last week. You got cut in half already in two days.
Right.
So it does work, but it's in reality, there should have been 50,000 today, and but there's 45, and that's still a record. And so the number is up. My prediction was that we're going to get to 50,000 this week. Still got a couple of days to go, and might be able to get there without Florida's help. Even if they only do 5,000 or 6,000 instead of 10,000, they can make up 5,000 in the other states. And just to give you an idea, there are these states that, the top three are still the top three. It's still California, Florida, and Texas are all reporting 5,000 or more cases per day. But how many states do you think reported 500 or more new cases today?
Oh, just no, this will be interesting. Hold on. Let me think about this. Since we're
just
caught
the
up.
United
we're,
States, just,
yeah,
the,
I got
just
it.
The 50 states, you know, how
30.
Many of them did 500 or more?
30.
Yeah, you're a little bit high. 24. So 24
right.
of the 50 states, and
that's
well,
pretty
District
good.
Of Columbia is pretty small.
Bad.
And so, 500 is a fairly good number. And,
yes, it is.
And at the rate they're going up, in 3 or 4 days, 500 turns into 1,000. And so Elizabeth Warren asked Anthony Fauci, well, you guys originally projected that there were going to be between 100,000 and 200,000 deaths, and there's already over 120,000 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many cases and deaths do you think it's going to end up being when this is all said and done and it's over? And Fauci said, it's hard to make these projections, and we're going in the wrong direction. If you look at the curves are all going up. I don't know if it's because some of these states came out of it too soon, or if it's some of these states.
Sounds like
kind
he was tiptoeing around
procedure.
A little bit there. Didn't want to offend Donald.
Well, they gave a detailed procedure for how to ease up on the lockdowns and what kind of markers you should meet. If you recall, they wanted 14 days in a row of declining cases.
Right.
And a lot of these states just totally ignored that. And so he said, well, some of the states, might have come out a little bit too soon. They didn't really follow the markers when they started easing things up. And then in other cases, the states did kind of follow the markers, but the citizens didn't really cooperate. And, you see these pictures of, packed bars and nobody wearing a mask and them being shoulder to shoulder that's not going to give a good result.
Well, my state tomorrow, the state of Oregon, is requiring everyone statewide, like Washington, down to the age of 12, to wear masks whenever they go out into public settings.
Oh. Right. And they did that here in Pennsylvania, and then they... When they did the original lockdown, then once they've eased it, now they're kind of going back and saying, most stores won't let you in. So, I mean, they have signs up and they have, I don't know what happens if you go.
Well, that's what's
going to
happen here. Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's still a little messy out there. Apparently, It was in the Midwest. I'm not sure. I think it might have been South Dakota or I don't know. It's one of the plain states. Some of the local cities wanted passed mandatory masks. Exactly what you said. That if you're outside, you have to be, and you can't socially distance. You have to be wearing a mask. Actually, I don't know. They said socially distancing. I think they just said if you're outside, you got to wear a mask.
That's right. And, that's what it was.
And the governor said, no, you can't do that. If you start enforcing the mask, then he'll pull back funding. And so he's going to go ahead and say, you can't tell people not to wear a mask. And this is the reason that, when you start talking about Sweden and say, they don't have any regulations and they don't have that much. Well, A, they got more than other European countries, but B, they're not a bunch of idiots. They know that you're not wearing the mask to make a political statement. You're wearing a mask to control the virus. And here, at least some locations, if you wear the mask, you're making a political statement. And you shouldn't be made to wear the mask. And you shouldn't wear the mask because you're an idiot. I don't know. So in any event, the numbers are going up. They're going up dramatically. The numbers are now 45,000 a day. Those are above the level that they were at when the lockdown happened. It's far more widespread now. Like I say, 24 states have 500 or more cases, new cases per day, or at least today. And some of them are, Florida was at 10,000 a day when they were testing at the level they had been testing at. Now they're down to 5 by cutting back on the testing, but I'm sure the percentage is still going up. And, California is getting close to 10,000, a day. Texas isn't far behind, and they're going to be getting to those ranges. And there are a lot of reports out of Texas. I don't know. You said something about some report by some guy that says only 3 people and the extra people in the ICU.
I forgot to send that to you, I think. I'll dig it up. I'll get it.
I don't know. That's whatever it is, this cherry picking is nonsense. I mean, there's plenty of cases in Texas. They're talking about eliminating elective surgery.
He went against the grain. It was unusual.
What typically happened is, they suspended elective. Well, they did here. I think they suspended it in most places that went under the lockdown. Is they suspended elective surgery. So you had all these people that we're planning on having these surgeries, and because they wanted to free up the beds for the COVID cases, they stopped that. And then once they started easing up, then all these people that had been waiting for their elective surgery scheduled their elective surgery. So they filled up the beds. So they had a lot of people that were in the hospital because they were getting their elective surgery done that they were delaying because when the lockdown was there. So now with the COVID cases coming in, it's relatively easy to fill up the ICU because 2/3 of the ICU has already got people that got their elective surgery done.
I got you.
And now they're going to reverse that by saying no more elective surgeries, and when the ones that are in there get discharged, they'll have more ICU beds.
Well, we'll end up with a lot of those empty
in general.
Empty beds, empty parking lots, and we'll have more of those videos running around. So, yeah, you can't win. Here's the story. I just sent it to you. Headlines like Houston facing apocalyptic July 4th. sparked fear and panic across most of America's media over the weekend as talk of maxed out ICUs and soaring case numbers dominated every pixel, with very few able to see any link to this resurgence in cases and the riots and protests that began to take place a few weeks ago. All right, as per usual, in this highly politicized world, another leading voice has emerged to clarify that this heightened state of alarm was all for naught, since Houston actually has the situation in its hospitals well in hand. Let me finish here. Okay. Houston Methodist Hospital, it's a big hospital, Dr. Mark Boom, right, told CNBC on Monday that the demographics of the outbreak have flipped and that the mostly younger people arriving in the state's hospitals often don't require ICU beds, even though many do not get very sick. He said that, and then he said, additionally, as CNBC reports, Boom said Houston Methodist has the necessary capacity to handle the COVID-19 outbreak, echoing similar comments on CNBC Friday from Dr. David Callender, CEO of Memorial Hermann Health System in Houston. Boom reiterated his comments from last week that the number of hospitalizations are being misinterpreted, and quite frankly, we're concerned that there is a level of alarm in the community that is unwarranted right now, and you've got the rest in your mailbox.
and the key word in that whole portion that you read was right, two words, right now. Yeah. So it's all, you know, time dependent, and the alarm is not necessarily that they're going to be out of bed in the next week or two. And the alarm is that because of the number of cases, even if they're younger, and even if not as many of the younger cases are going into the hospital, this is, there's confusion because that story that came out on the mutation, you know, is confusing some people. The reason we have all these cases is because there's a new mutation. And there's not a new mutation. This is the mutation that showed up in northern Italy in January and February. And so it's just that virus has spread now. So the virus is in Houston, the same virus that was in New York and New Jersey and Boston and Chicago and New Orleans and Philadelphia. And so now the virus is spreading quicker. They're getting more cases. And the population that's getting infected first, it's the population that was going to the bars and not wearing masks and basically getting infected in droves. And then they were sick enough to go to the hospital or go to the doctors, or at least to get tested. And so the cases are up. But the fact that they're younger and they're not going in the hospital at as high a level doesn't indicate that they're not going to be older in a couple of weeks and go into the hospital at higher rates. And then a couple of weeks after that, or maybe a month after that, they're going to start dying at higher levels. So they're going to have all of these are virtually guaranteed because the virus is in these states at a much higher level than it's been. And more people are still going out and about, and therefore they're going to have more exposure to these younger people, and therefore the virus is going to spread to all age groups, and it's a virus that spreads easily and puts older people in the hospital, of which a portion die, just like they did in New York and just like they did in Boston and all these other major cities that are actually pretty low right now relative to the others in these these states that all have 500 cases or more, some of them are new in the South and the Southwest, that, you know, had relatively few cases 2 months ago. And some of these are the states that had higher numbers, like Pennsylvania is up to 600, New York's around 500, and Illinois is around 700. So some of these cases where the numbers did drop down, they had a big peak, and then they got that peak under control, and the numbers went down, and they started lifting the lockdown. And now, with some lifting, the numbers are starting to creep back up. So those states that got the numbers down are seeing it creep up. And those other states that just went ahead and figured that, oh, it's time to get the economy stimulated and forget about the virus, we're just going to open things up, they did that, and they ended up with cases going up. Here in Pennsylvania, they looked at the new cases, and they found that here in the Pittsburgh area, they found that the new cases were primarily from younger people who were going to bars. They even, you know, gave the area, the city, and the South Hills of the city. It's where mm-hmm. the bars were that were giving rise to the new cases. And then other people had gone to, you know, the shore. They either went to New Jersey shore, they went down to Myrtle Beach in North Carolina. So these are popular places that people go in the summertime from Pittsburgh, and they got infected and they came back to Pittsburgh, and you know, that's, they were positive when they got back, and they had just been on the beach. So there was not a whole lot they could do about the people on the beach, but there was something they could do about the people in the bars. So they basically closed all the bars in Pittsburgh and said that, you know, that the problem, and you can't really social distance in a bar. And there's just a lot of transmission there. So that's what happened here. But, you know, they in Texas, they are eliminating elective surgery. So that's how they're dealing with this. They do have cases. They know the numbers are going up. They know the numbers are going to go up even more in the upcoming weeks. And they're trying to clear out the beds so that they don't have a problem. And so what the CEOs of the hospitals are essentially saying is it's manageable, and that or it's manageable for now. That's the key two words. Everything is for now. And so they're going to basically not bring in new elective surgeries, and the elective surgeries that have already happened, the patients are going to get discharged in the next week or so. And that'll open up more beds. So even though they have more COVID cases, they're still going to have room for them because they're going to be freeing up beds. And they know they're going to have more COVID cases. But that doesn't mean it's going to remain manageable. but places like Houston, you know, they have teaching hospitals. They've got a lot of medical centers. They've got a lot mm-hmm. of beds. And at the earlier stages, it's not going to be a problem. They can manage 5,000 new cases a day, especially if they're younger. But 5,000 cases a day in 2 weeks are probably going to be a lot less manageable, which is why they're ending elective surgeries. So it's not like it's totally out of control in Texas, although it sounds like it's pretty close to totally out of control in Arizona. And yeah, yeah. They've issued alerts, and they're trying to bring in healthcare workers from other states because they're running out of personnel. And then they have this whole thing that I talked about yesterday, that they're running out of swabs. They got these swabs that are, you know, individually wrapped, or they're not scored, or the transport fluid reacts with bleach and creates cyanide gas. So, I mean, there are some serious issues with the testing, with, you know, as far as Trump's concerned, that's great. You know, the numbers are going to go down, and he doesn't want to see headlines of 100,000 cases today. He would be much happier if everybody cut their numbers in half like Florida did, and just do less testing. And there are those problems. I mean, there's problems in Arizona getting tested. You know, the virus is all over the place. People want to know if they're infected or not, and they go, they get in these in their cars, and they sit and sit and sit, and then all of a sudden they come and they cut the line and say, nobody passed this car is going to get tested today. You can leave now.
That's it. Goodbye.
And so they sit around and they don't get tested. So, you know, they still want to get tested. So it's still going to be an issue who's going to get in line first the next day. And so they'll always be at capacity as far as the testing is concerned. And the capacity is not sufficient based upon how big the population is and how frequent the infections are. So it's a dire situation because these numbers are going up. It's the middle of the summer. So, you know, the whole idea that the virus is going to go away when it gets hot isn't coming to fruition.
No,
exactly what it's from, whether the air conditioning is contributing to it and people are inside in the South and it's too hot to go out and the air conditioning recirculates the virus. I think they're, in New York, I'm pretty sure they're, making a requirement that, all of these buildings have HEPA filters. So they have filters that they have little bitty holes and the virus can't get through so that the virus gets trapped in the filters and it doesn't get recirculated. So they're starting to put that requirement in place. And, you know, the next thing you're going to be reading about probably is going to be a shortage of HEPA filters because everybody's going to want to replace the filters they've got so that they aren't letting virus circulate. And if everybody orders HEPA filters,
putting the filter in an HVAC system in a house, I assume, or a building.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, the other thing you should put on there, and I mean you should really should, is called an air scrubber, and there may be others. It's an ozone generator. You slap it right onto the side and open up a hole into your return air duct before it goes through the furnace or the AC, and it does successfully remove 99.9999% of allergens, fungus, yeast, mold, bacteria, viruses. So that's one way to clean the breathable recycling air in a home safely with it's called an air scrubber. That's one good unit. I have them. They're good. They work.
Okay. So whatever it is, I mean, that's what, you know, plans are to try to get this virus under control. And, it clearly isn't. And whether it's the air conditioning or whether it's just, the Italian version is now in the area, it transmits more easily and people aren't, you know, they think it's over. Okay, you can go back to work or you go, you know, do whatever. You go to restaurants and you can go to bars and you can go to the beach. And you can go do X, Y, and Z. And, there's way too much virus to do that. I mean, that's the reason the guidelines were to have 10 days in a row and some of the states went ahead and specific metrics. It was beyond that. They had to get the viral frequencies of cases down to X number per 100,000 or something, or the deaths had to get down to some number. And so it had to be going down. And in some cases, they had to get down to such and such a level. And once it got down that low, theoretically, you were going to let people do more things, and you're going to have contact tracers in place. And then if you, people started to get, were positive, you'd have testing in place, and then you'd identify the positives with the tracers, and then you'd make sure that they did a 14-day quarantine, although now that seems to be an issue, and they think it might take 24 days, and so they're not sure how effective the quarantine is.
Oh, and, well, 14 days is not long enough. We've seen too many stories about 20, 25, and even 30 days.
Right. So it's not clear how effective the tracing will be, but if you don't have the tests, you don't have the swabs, you're not testing, and it doesn't really matter if you got contact tracers. You don't know who to trace. Because you're not really testing at a high enough level.
Isn't it too late, Henry, to contact tracing? It's too late. It's all over the place.
I would say it's too late if you look at the curve. That's the reason they went into the lockdowns to begin with, is that the number of cases were too high. Back then, it was like 20-something thousand. I mean, I don't think it got to 30,000 yet when they started talking about doing the lockdowns. It might have gone up to 30,000 when they finally did it. But it's not at 30,000. It's at 45,000. And there's no indication that, it's peaked at 45,000. Most of these curves, they look like a hockey stick. The virus is going straight up. And the only way it doesn't go up is to say, do Trump's rule, which is, don't test. So if they follow Florida's guide, their procedure is to just cut back on the testing. Instead of getting 10,000, you only get 5,000. You say, we got 5,000 this morning we used to have. But that's not really reflective of how many cases they actually have. And so that's what the big concern is that, I don't know. I probably should have looked that last Friday, my guess is the number of states that have 500 or more new ones was probably below 20. And, now it's 24 and, next week it'll probably be at 30 something. And so the numbers are going to keep going up on how many cases. And then the cases are going to translate to the numbers that are admitted, which I think was an all-time high today, where it was the number of people that were actually admitted in the hospital. Right. And that number is going to go up. And then the number of those in ICU is going to go up to record levels. And then the number that are dying are going to go up to record levels. So, it was going at about 2,000 a day. When it had plateaued, when the curve had flattened, it had flattened around 2,000 a day. And if it goes up to 50 or 100,000 cases a day, it's going to go up to 5,000 a day or die. And then all of a sudden, I think the number for the 1918 pandemic was 244,000 dead in the U.S. And so, we should hit that this year. And we may hit that this summer.
Before the election, yeah.
Yeah. And if we do hit it, this summer, then there's no telling what it's going to be like in the fall, because this is how viruses evolve. They essentially, dump species and they get used to the new species. And initially there's not much immunity in the new species, so that a little bit of virus will cause a case. And then you get enough virus out there that the population has a little bit of immunity, and then once it has a little bit of immunity, there's so much virus circulating that there's going to be some viruses pop out that evade that immunity, and then they quickly become the dominant lineage because the other ones kind of get a roadblock that they run into too many people that are immune, and so they start to decline. And the ones that have evaded the immunity start to go up, and then that one's everywhere. Then all of a sudden, everybody's vulnerable again, and to the new version, and then the new version basically goes throughout the country. So instead of having it in the Northeast, and then a couple of the big cities in the North, and a big city here and there in the South, now you've got most of the South and most of the West. And in the fall, you'll just have the entire country hit simultaneously. And
that's
the reason the EU did decide that the U.S. is not welcome in Europe. People can't go to Europe to get away from it. And, you know, back in the 50s, they used to, you know, complain that it was the ugly American, just the behavior. And now it's going to be the toxic American. People don't want Americans to come, even though they spend money, because they're dangerous. They're infectious. They're bringing the virus when they're, you know, tried to get it under control and went through all these testing and lockdowns to get the virus level down. And the U.S., they're just, you know, like I said, it's a toxic waste dump here. I mean, there's more virus here than anywhere. We have to wait
another 2 months to find out if we begin to see the beginnings of an influenza season that may be formidable. And if we do, it's going to be double down time. It's going to be tough.
Well, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot harder to identify the cases. Right now, if you've got these flu-like symptoms, it's not due to the flu. And
That's right.
Can identify who's infected more easily.
Yeah.
If you've got flu floating around, then, you know, everybody's got flu-like symptoms. And there's already an issue with having enough test kits. And that's what the problem is, that, you know, the summer isn't really going to give a reprieve. And there are going to be shortages again. I mean, there's already shortages on testing. These places don't have enough kits. They don't have the right kits. And so they can't really do the testing now. And then when the flu season comes along, you know, they got testing. You got two different infections. You got COVID in some cases that get treated one way, and you got flu in others that get treated another way. And so you need to know which of the two they have, or whether they have both. And I'm not even sure what the combination of both.
It's gonna be messy.
It's gonna be messy in the fall. And it's not going to be school. You know, the idea that they're going to have school for more than a month if they do start it. And they're already having trouble with the sports teams, with some teams pulling out and some players pulling out, and they haven't even started. So they're not going to get the football season in. They might start the season. They're never going to get through the season on that either. And this fall is just going to be a total disaster. And the idea that it's not going to get worse in the fall, or that things are going to kind of get back to normal, the economy is going to get cranked up in the fall.
That's LSD time.
Well, you just don't know what year you're talking about. You know, maybe 2021 in the fall it'll be okay, or 2022, but it isn't going to be in 2020.
I still think we're going to see real serious food issues fairly soon now begin to show up. Big holes in the supply chain are going to show. Watch. Henry, thank you. As always, we'll stay right on top of it for all of our family of listeners around the world, and this is a worldwide issue. So take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Henry Nyman, and that's our program for you tonight. We will be back tomorrow. and William Gein will be here, Brother Nathaniel will be here, and Dr. Henry Nyman as well. Okay, that's tomorrow night. Take care. Talk soon.
735. Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it.